When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Ariana Maddox. You probably know me from TV, or maybe you read my best-selling book and tried one of my amazing cocktails, or maybe you saw me on Broadway. What I can say is following dreams is kind of my thing. But of all the things I'm lucky enough to get to do, the thing that I get asked about the most are my shoes. What's my secret? DSW. DSW is the best place to get all the shoes you need from brands you love. Trust me, I'm obsessed. In fact, I love DSW so much, I've teamed up with them to create a collection of shoes from must-have sandals to super cool sneakers that are guaranteed to get compliments. Because if I've learned anything, it's that if you've got big dreams to follow, you're gonna need some really great shoes. Find the shoes of your dreams when you shop my new collection now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. Mixed with blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar for the perfect balance of sweet, salty, and sour every time. Discover legendary taste with Cayman Jack, America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Is a mess, y'all. Come on in. I am your neighborhood friendly black girl, Amber.
And I'm just Ben.
You never saw Barbie, right?
I did not, but
it's a thing. I'm just Ken is a thing. So
I'm just
you got to steal his whole bit now.
Yeah, I don't think I can steal Ryan Reynolds anything.
That's Ryan Gosling.
Oh,
welcome to Fly.
My Ryan's mixed up.
Welcome to Fly on the Wildin' Podcast. This is the show where we talk about dating, parenting, and recording it all for the world to see. We are so happy to be back in the studio with y'all. I know for y'all, this happened a long time ago, but we recently graced the stage in New York City. Ben, I want to recap really quickly with you because we're going to be gracing the stage again in Atlanta very soon. How did the stage go for you? You're not used to performing, being a part of the arts, darling. So what was it like being on stage with the queen?
First of all, I am used to performing.
When's the last time you were on stage by yourself for a show that people paid to see?
Play, The Night of the Burning Pestle. It was a two and a half hour play.
Okay.
It was a Shakespearean play. I memorized probably more lines than you ever had to do at Second City.
Oh.
When you were on stage there.
Okay, question.
Mm-hmm.
What year did that play premiere, debut?
2011.
2011.
I think, no, 2012.
So you do realize that was over 10 years ago.
It was 10 years ago, but I still got it. It was so much fun.
I would actually love to see that tape back.
There is.
Oh, not Night of the Burning Pestle, the show that we did.
Oh, you want to see the night?
Well, you said it was so much fun. I'm saying which show was so much fun.
The show that we did together. Well, both were a lot of fun, but I feel like the show we did together was a little bit shorter. I could improv. It was a lot of fun.
What was it like being on stage after 10 years since I misspoke earlier?
First of all, I did other improv at the Annoyance Theater, and that was maybe
students playing around and you having to, you know, perform and keep people entertained all night.
I didn't think there was a difference for me. I don't judge myself in my head the same way that you do. Amber's got a whole like judge, jury,
executioner
right up in her head, constantly judging her, where I don't feel judged by anything.
I'm not judging you. I'm just saying, like, did you feel alive
on
stage?
I felt alive. I felt totally fine. I didn't feel nervous. It was fun. I got to be whoever I was in day-to-day life.
What, do you think you were being you?
Yeah.
You did great.
I was
very proud of you. That's why I wanted to check in and make sure you felt as accomplished in yourself as I felt in you. You did a great job.
How did you feel? You told a personal story.
I'm a star. So I had to check in on you. You know, the stage is my home. That's my address. You know what I'm saying? But yes, I actually was very excited to be on stage with somebody who wanted to be up there with me, because I think, as most of you know, when I was doing, let's just pretend, as none of you know, when I was on stage at Second City, I was going in as an understudy a lot. I was on an understudy contract for like 2 or 3 years, covering for many girls in this one show. It was an all-woman review.
So you're like a rotational person. You weren't really part of the team, a designated hitter.
Well, I was in so much, but yes, I was not a permanent member of the ensemble. So every time people saw me come in, they'd be like, oh, is so-and-so sick?
Yeah, you were the sign of this was about to be a hard show or something.
Right, and then I always knocked it out of the park.
In the same way.
I knocked it out of the park, and then they would be like, I mean, yeah. So, you know, I killed that show.
Mm-hmm. You were great. I saw that show like 10 times.
Yes.
And I loved it every single time you were in it.
The other ladies in the show were great too, but it's if you are in theater, it's a different feel when the understudy goes in, because they might miss a cue here, or they might like go above and beyond on a scene there, and then you got to make up for it. But
which one of you were of the two?
Miss a cue or above and beyond? I probably forgot to strike chair C. Sue me. But my choreo was always on point. So I think for me, one, I missed the stage, and two, it just felt really exciting to do a show with somebody I really love. And then the show wasn't memorizing lines. It was just like being myself with my husband on stage. So I had a really good time, and I'm excited because we are going to be doing the show in Atlanta on December 20th at City Winery Atlanta. Those tickets go on sale November 3rd at 10 a.m. EST. Get your tickets ASAP, y'all, because you know I'm from Georgia. I'm a Georgia girl, born and bred. So those tickets are going to be gone. People from my high school can just sell out those tickets. So you don't want to miss those tickets.
Yeah, the tickets are live right now as we're speaking.
Yes, they are live right now as we're speaking. Thank you. You know, we record these episodes in advance because we're planners,
We're planners. Yeah. We prepare.
Absolutely. So click the link in the episode notes to buy your ticket to the Atlanta show if that's where you are.
Y'all want to hear some real tea about live shows?
This ain't on the outline, so go ahead.
They don't make you any money.
Oh, yeah, duh. Everybody knows touring is very expensive.
You have to... All right, if you are a single stand-up comedian and you can stay in, like, a 2-star hotel, you will make money going on the road.
Yeah, I make money when I'm hosting a show. When this comes out, I will be in Oklahoma hosting a show. So I'll be in Tulsa. The girls told me it's not Tulsa. I'll be in Tulsa, Oklahoma hosting a show. So I'm making money off that because it's like, they're just booking my flight. They're booking my room. They're paying me to do the show.
But when you try to money to eat each day, right?
Yeah, a per diem. But when you try to just like bring the whole family and all of that, yeah. Oh, the budget is gone. I feel like every budget I've ever tried to make ever in life, I go over. Do you feel that way?
I don't think you've ever made a budget in your life.
I have. We had a budget for our wedding.
You said, I want to spend this amount of money, but you didn't really make a clear budget.
I think we made a budget breakdown of everything.
I think you think of a budget like, I'm going out tonight. I'm not going to spend more than $50. Like, that's not a budget, Amber. That's just a cap.
It's a limit.
You've never made
it's
a cap.
It's an ideal. Okay. So, I'm sorry. Are you making budgets?
I don't know.
What budget? What was the last budget you made?
I mean, it's hard to make a budget with somebody who doesn't know how to budge.
you could be the model. What's the last budget you made? We made a budget for our wedding of like $15,000, I want to say. We spent $17,000.
I use Mint. If y'all ever use Mint, it's a pretty cool website.
Man, don't be using Mint for real.
I have used it before. But it's hard to keep track of budget because Amber's like, well, I got to get my nails done for the sixth time today.
I got my nails done 6 days in a row. On the same
day. No, on the same day.
Six times. I need a service per nail at that point. Ben, look at me, Ben. I got to keep up with the girls. Like, because here's the thing about it. This is our hashtag influence segment where we talk about things going on in the creative space and the digital world. We're going to get to our actual topic in a second, but I would like to say that if you are a creator, it is an investment to invest in yourself visually, especially if there are lots of visual components to the things that you do. So people who started podcasting, for example, 10 years ago, 9 years ago, they don't really have to have visual podcasts because they've been doing it so long. They were kind of the blueprint and the frontier. But if you're new to podcasting, you kind of have to have a visual component. And with that visual component, if you want people to start listening, you got to start looking great too. We can pull up the old videos and their views of when we was just sitting in the house, you know, with fungus under
sitting
our armpits.
In the bathroom.
In the bathroom.
We just woke up.
We was in the basement of the home. And people respond to when you take it more seriously.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
And you look great today. You actually dressed yourself today.
Yeah.
You picked that out and I just complimented. Shout out to Taylor. She's my stylist that's been working with me. So tell me about your outfit.
So
who are you wearing?
This is Faye Valentine, who's a character from Cowboy Bebop. It's a very economical anime show that I recommend to everyone who's not watched anime before. There's a lot of standalone episodes and so compelling. And it's made more for adults and the problems that the main characters go through. Budgeting at points, they have to budget, is more relatable as an adult. So it's amazing. It's so good. And then also the shoes, I did not pick out, but these shoes were picked out. By Taylor, who is our stylist. And so it's been really nice. But yeah, as far as putting on a live show, Amber and I are doing a variety show. So there are live musical numbers with choreo. There's a music involved. There are giveaways. So we also have merch. God, there's so much. We have a opener, a stand-up opener. We have lots of fan engagement. We have a PowerPoint. So this is not your standard. Like, we're just going to sit and talk,
two
people on
that.
A podcast. So for that, you need a creative director to, create a stage. It's just not two people sitting on a nice chair talking.
You need production?
So we had a production. We had a producer. We had someone running all the backstage film. So do behind the scenes type of thing. And then we needed a babysitter. So you had your mom come out. We needed someone to run the merch table. So by the time all that paid off. Oh,
budget
and,
gone.
Gone. The budget was gone, but I think what we made back didn't even cover half of what was needed to be expended. So,
but I like the stage. But, what can I say?
Yeah, but we sold really well.
Yeah, we did.
We sold really well,
I'm
which
very
is so fascinating for me because I'm like, okay, now, I mean, honestly.
So we can only afford to do these like once a month.
Once a month.
Doing them, shit.
You have to make sure that you find sponsors.
Yes, we're working on that.
And hotels in New York are super expensive. So there are things we could have done, which is we could have stayed in New Jersey.
Nah, ma'am.
Instead of like down the street from the venue in Chelsea. And Chelsea's very expensive.
We walked to the venue.
It was amazing.
You have to pay for convenience.
Not if you want to make money.
You signed up for this lifestyle with me. Like, why are you switching up? Even when I was broke, I was acting like this. Even when we had mice in our home,
yeah, broke,
I was
broke
being
is
ridiculous.
A mindset. Amber's
broke
always
is a
been
mindset.
Rich.
Right, rich bitch. Speaking of kind of rich bitch things. Okay, so here's the thing, right? Again, this is going to be old tea by the time this comes out. But what's hot on the block this day, today, is that Keith Lee, internet sensation, he's a food critic, food reviewer on the internet, has like 14 million followers on TikTok, actually is a really, really great guy. A friend of mine knows him, and one time we were FaceTiming, and he was just super sincere, earnest guy. Recently did a food tour of Atlanta, since we're talking about Atlanta anyway. Atlanta is on the chopping block this week. So he recently reviewed about 9 restaurants in the Atlanta area. And Atlanta is kind of notorious for having inconsistent rules, maybe low inventory on food. Maybe the wait staff isn't always accommodating. So you get these long wait times. Sometimes there's no pickup, no takeout. Websites aren't updated. And Keith Lee kind of blew the whole shit open when he went to visit a couple of these restaurants. He doesn't just visit them, for those of you who don't know. He sends his family in. So he kind of is like the ultimate secret shopper, right, babe?
He is a secret
shopper.
For those who don't know who Keith Lee is, he has 14 million followers on TikTok.
I feel like I said that, but go off.
Did you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I said a lot, so
yeah.
Reiterate.
And I think 14 million followers is a lot of people on TikTok, especially if you are just a TikToker. Right. So people like Kevin Hart or The Rock might get a lot of followers because they are famous for other reasons. But he just makes TikTok videos and then he's built off of that. So he goes incognito to these places, gets the food. And his whole brand is that I want to eat as a regular person. He doesn't like to go into place and be given celebrity status recommendation.
Right.
So he, that's his whole thing. And so for me,
he's doing quality control, like for every customer. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He's trying to eat as a normal customer. Something that he kept on pointing out was, as you said, these inconsistent rules or the lack of clarity was something that kept on coming up. So, for example, they would say the restaurant is open, and then they would say, no, we're closed now. So
right.
They didn't update their websites appropriately. That's something that he saw. Another thing is that they would have weird takeout rules.
Right.
Where you couldn't, they would say they'd be open for takeout, but if you went there, they said they're not open for takeout.
Yes.
So the big thing he noticed was the lack of connection between their online platforms and the actual business.
Yes, which is kind of what he specializes in, as he is an online creator.
Right, and that's something that you have to be on top of. You need someone to like run your socials. So if you have an Instagram, the links on that Instagram need to be updated.
Yeah,
right?
and your website. Because we're in the digital age. We're in the age of Uber Eats. We're in the age of DoorDash. We Uber Eats and DoorDash, if not every meal, goddamn every other meal at this point. So we are highly, highly, highly reliant on updated information. And, you know, when people are hungry and they want their food, like they will drag you anonymously before even stepping foot at your restaurant, because people don't have time to waste these days, like waiting in a 2-hour line for a goddamn sandwich.
Yeah, the line waits were ridiculous. So the thing I'm going to say with Keith Lee is that he should go to Quarter Sheets.
If he comes to L.A.?
If he comes to L.A., and I'm sure he's already gone to L.A. He's done stuff in L.A. before.
Probably, yeah,
he did. He did a Kevin Hart restaurant. But here's the thing. All the problems that I kept on hearing about Keith Lee, Quarter Sheets, which is my favorite pizza place, covered.
Don't blow our spot.
They're very clear about
clarity.
Clarity is like, hey, we do not do reservations. Mm-hmm. So what he would see is that they would do reservations at this time, but not this time. So there was inconsistency of when you could get a reservation. Quarter Sheets does not do reservations. Two, they do takeout orders. And from 5 to 9, you can put in a time for you to come pick up your food. But when they are sold out, it's very clear that they are sold out. So if you want to pick up your food at 5, it's a little blank, like, hey, it's sold out. You can pick it up at 5:30. And so there were things online where they say, oh, we can take out this time, and you'd go and to pick up the food, and they would say, oh, no, you can't. So basically their whole thing felt like a middle school project. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
but can I just call a flag on the play? It's not a big flag, but a black flag on the play. Here's what Keith Lee is trying to do. He is trying to drive business to black-owned businesses.
Right.
And what is being revealed is, I probably try to say this in a nice way, like a lot of these black-owned businesses do not have the resources to get somebody in there to do some consulting, set up inventory the proper way, the proper org, the proper channels. And Atlanta has just been kind of dealing with that. So that's why I feel like this situation is really unique, because I'm pretty sure, and I'll link which restaurants he went to here. I'm pretty sure he went to 9 black-owned restaurants. And that is why there is dialogue in the community, because some people are kind of like, you know, these black businesses are doing the best that they can in the market that they work in. So why would you further reveal their inconsistencies to everybody, all of your followers? Because obviously he has different followers across racial lines. But the other people are kind of like, yo, the black dollar carries weight too. Like, we deserve good service, consistent things, just like the white man. That's kind of internally what's happening on the internet right now.
Yeah.
And you can't speak on that.
Sure.
So that's why I think Quarter Sheets is not a good comparison. Is it one of our favorite LA restaurants that is always consistent? Da-da-da-da. Absolutely. But I think, like, just to let you know, the real debate right now is, like, the black-owned restaurant, I mean, and should we just put up with whatever?
You might be able to pull the race card on one of these places, but Old Lady Gang, like, come on. Really?
Right, no, they're rich. Like, no, they're wealthy. There's intersectionality
and that
here.
Trumps everything. So,
right.
So Old Lady Gang right. is a restaurant.
Of lady gangsters.
Of lady gangsters.
That are
no,
elderly.
Who,
I'm just
who
kidding.
Are, you know, Real Housewives of Atlanta who make lots of money. They pooled their money together to start this business. And they were giving people 2 hour, 1.5 hour
You're right,
wait lists.
You're right.
Like you don't put someone on a wait list like that. And then he came in and there was not, apparently there weren't a lot of people sitting down. He came in and it went from an hour and a half to 5 minutes.
Correct.
Because they recognized him.
That's an issue.
And that for me is like, oh, this is about clout and it's about using your celebrity status to gain things that you have no right to gain just because you're a celebrity.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to... I think what Keith Lee is doing is absolutely brilliant. Like, we do need a secret shopper because I've gone to a restaurant and posted that I was there, not even for pay, posted that I was there, and tons of people went to that restaurant. And that was the first time I realized, like, oh, we got something here. Like, this is... Like, we can't just fuck around. Like, if we go to a good quality restaurant, we can shout them out. Or if we go to a bad restaurant, we cannot say anything because people do get aggressive on the internet. You know that. I'll give the example of one time I went to a burger restaurant, right? I love the burger so much, I cried. It just had these perfectly salted chunks of butter within the patty. Great burger spot in Chicago. Cried over this burger.
We made like a sexual video about it. Like I ate the burger sexually as well.
I don't remember that part, but it was about 2 years ago. So I'll go. We'll tag. Talking
about the steak place. The
no,
butter
no, no.
burger. This just, is a different place.
Just the burger.
Which you,
talking about over in the Whoop West Loop.
Yeah, I made like burger love. I like licked out the burger.
I know, but that wasn't why the video went viral. The video went viral because I was crying in that first one.
No, I think the video went viral because people realized that I lick your vagina like really well.
No,
like
Ben, could you talk
like
about licking my
love.
Vagina every episode? That shit is not why it went viral. It went viral because I cried over the burger. I will link the video in here. Did you since make videos saying burger love after it? Yes, you did. But wasn't nobody, you did not go viral talking about eating pussy.
I think we go viral oftentimes because of my
no.
abilities.
Is this camera? No, that's not. But let me finish real quick. So you remember, I cried over the burger. It was very good. This was when we first started getting a lot of followers. We went back to the restaurant because I was like, oh, I love that burger so much. I just want to come back and eat. And he told me, he was like, I've sold that burger so many times this week. He was like, and I just hired a sous chef who applied to work here because they saw your video. I'm not sure if you remember that.
I
and
do remember that.
Some food. So
they comped you some food. They should have comped you the whole goddamn fucking meal.
I know,
meal.
Right? I know. But that's okay because that's why I didn't want to say what restaurant it is because, like, I fuck with them. I love Chef
Oh,
Johnny.
Yeah. It was
like,
great.
Yeah. Great experience.
Running
whatever.
A restaurant is difficult.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. But you know what else happened? I had two more friends go back to that spot
and they said,
girl, my food was sitting.
They had
and
a
that's
bad
why
experience.
It's hard yep. to. So now, you know, as creators, the onus is on us of like, I think we have made a decision, especially, I know, maybe I'm trash, but especially if I go to a Black-owned business excited about it and I don't get good service and I don't get good treatment. And again, we're not on Keith Lee status, so we
no,
can
no.
kind of still
yet.
Be mystery
yet.
Shoppers.
We're going to be Keith Lee status someday.
No, not in the next, well, yeah, someday, but then he gonna, 14. And then he going to surpass us. But here's the thing, we have a fraction of the following that Keith Lee has, so when we go to restaurants,
114th.
People don't know. Maybe one waiter or something starts to spread the news, but when we go to restaurants, for the most part, most of the staff does not know.
Yeah, we could be incognito.
Yes,
just regular.
There might be one or two waitresses that clock it near the end if I get up, go to the bathroom, but most don't know. So if when we went to a bad restaurant here or there in Atlanta, we just didn't say anything. You know what I mean?
We keep that on the wraps.
Yeah,
well,
because
I mean, we're
you
talking
because
shit
you don't want them to get
the
death threats and stuff. Yeah, oh, we talking mad shit in the car, but because you can't just recklessly do that. Because one time, we did eat at this restaurant in Chicago. You got food poisoning and I was very pregnant at the time. So I got so mad. I was like, fuck this restaurant. They will not give us a refund and y'all need to go blast them. And the internet did blast them. And I remember thinking that night, like, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
I should have done
that.
It
was vindictive.
It was. They wouldn't give you the refund back. But like, at what point am I, you know, culpable if they start getting death threats, if their rating goes down? Like that's kind of scary.
You're taking away someone's livelihood because they didn't They got me sick for about 2 days, and
I mean, they got to do something about those goddamn lobster
rolls.
Yeah,
that was bad. I still cannot eat a lobster roll
to this day.
I'm still sick. There are two things. This is so messed up. There are two things. A lobster roll I cannot eat, and then I was doing a beer tasting for Halloween, you know, a couple weeks ago, and I was trying on the night of Halloween, I was drinking these two beers and talking about the different tastes, and one of the beers was a brown ale, and a brown ale almost has this brown sugar taste.
Okay.
And I one time drank a whole keg of Newcastle when I was like 21, 22, when I first started to learn how to drink, and I just threw up. I threw up for about 2 days. I was hungover for 2 days, and I still cannot drink a brown ale to this day because of that. And so there are just two things. I don't show me a Newcastle. Don't. And I love sweet beers. I love brown women, but I can't drink a brown ale. But I can drink brown amber.
Oh, great. That's why we go viral. But literally,
just kidding.
In concluding our hashtag influenced segment, what should we, the creators, be doing if we get a good food experience? And if we get a good food experience and we know it's because the waiter recognizes from TikTok, do you share the restaurant? Because no, I send someone there and they don't get the same treatment.
You should not advertise. We've talked about this before, and this comes down to food as well. You should not advertise anything unless you're getting paid for it.
But that's hard to do because sometimes people will just see the plate and then they'll be like, okay, they're in Atlanta and I just saw them pass this. So one can only deduce like...
Well, I mean, you don't explicitly endorse it.
So you think we should, like, if we go to a little cute little hole in the wall, let's say we go into Atlanta for City Winery. We go to a great joint. It's black owned. We had great service. We had great food. If they recognized us, we don't post. If they don't recognize us, we should. Or you're just saying don't do it at all.
Yeah, just don't do it at all. Unless you use your company business card, and then you are obligated to some extent to advertise it or talk about business at the meal.
We're not talking about if it's a business expense or not. We're talking about the responsibility to like share and put on a restaurant if it's good, with the potential thought that like if my friend who doesn't make content goes, it might not be good.
Yeah, that's so hard.
It is hard. But what I will say, where we have landed, we definitely will not blast a restaurant if it's bad.
Yeah, never again. We won't do that again. Even if they give me food poisoning.
Keith did not do that.
No, he didn't.
He did not do that.
He was very clear. He's like, I was frustrated, but not go on giving these people death threats. Don't, you know, take it down. Go yourself. Yeah. Go yourself. Make your own judgment. This is just my experience. He's very clear about that.
And then one of the restaurants, like the Real Milk and Honey, I want to say, they tried to make in a horrible turn of events, they try to make a video be like, Keith Lee, we don't know who that is. It's like, stop that. You stop that right now. Like, if you don't know who he is, then why is his name in the video? Like, stop. Enough is enough. Anyway, if you are starting to gain a small following on social media, I guess our best advice would be to not completely drag restaurants or businesses of any kind if something goes wrong, because your followers and your fans take that shit very, very seriously.
Wonder if the company disagrees with you politically. Do you have the right to drag them? For example, there's a place called who the owners of that did two things. We've talked about this before. One,
why did you say their name?
I know. One, they went to the January 6th riots and were part of the insurrection. And then two, they didn't use COVID funds to pay their workers.
Right. The PPP.
Yeah. So like, do you put them on blast? I mean, I'm doing it right now, I guess.
Right. Do you put located in Uptown Chicago?
I love that place.
No, they got smoke.
They did get
smoke. The neighborhood gave them smoke.
Yeah. Man, people, that place used to be packed until like the Chicago, I think the Red Eye or something. Some newspaper did an expose on them.
Right.
And then also it came out that they went to this. And it's no longer packed when I was going by.
Of course. But that sucks because like, I think just the manager went to the riot and now
all their employees
everybody
are
has
screwed.
To suffer You're because like, just this one person the owner, who probably don't even work at the restaurant, probably don't even visit the restaurant, like did something fucked up.
Also,
and then they had to put up like the owner has kids too, like stanchions out there.
Yeah, they added some other element. It was intense. Also, here's the thing with racists or insurrectionists or the when you put them on blast and you take away their livelihood. Mm-hmm. You haven't dealt with the racism.
Right.
They're still racist. And
fuel the flame.
You've just secured them even more so, right? And so I'm curious, in this case, in Keith Lee's case, I think he is so clear, and he gives such clear advice on what these businesses should be doing moving forward, that I don't think his criticism is going to be harmful. Or it could make, I mean, I think it's obviously harming them, but I think it could make the business better.
I think
it would be cool if they hire Keith Lee to come in and be like, hey, can you consult us? Can we pay you some money to be a consultant?
Yeah. Customer experience is so important. It's so important. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a key element. I have another friend in Atlanta who, I guess I'm not going to name the name, but like basically has like a wings joint. Yeah. In Atlanta, like not a friend, but like somebody I went to high school with and I know them fondly or whatever. And they're always on Instagram just being like, we out of wings. If you don't like it, fuck you. And I'm just kind of like, what is happening?
I mean,
right
if that's
now?
Your brand, if your brand is like bad customer service.
Yeah, but you ain't
for example,
no
the
money.
Wiener Circle.
Right, but they're dogs.
In Chicago.
I know. I know what a rude restaurant is. That's not what they try to do. You got to have the restaurant part if you want the rude part. But you can't have rude with no restaurant. Like, if you serve wings and you out of wings today, motherfuckers are going to be upset. It's Atlanta.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to move on to the next segment.
Yeah.
The next segment of our show is called Imperfect Parent, where we talk about our struggles as new parents and things that are coming up. Because if you don't know, we have an 18-month-old daughter named Wildlyn. This week was a little difficult for me personally because I think the mom guilt is just setting in. I am ready to talk about it. I am the sole breadwinner of our household, the sole income earner. Of course, Ben does many things with me that help the business. Obviously, he's a huge asset to the business, but like every check is in my name. This we know. So I've just been feeling very guilty because I get so consumed with work sometimes, whether it's a brand deal, whether it's podcasts, just emails about future hosting gigs or whatever, that I feel like I have been missing like just some key parts. And I don't know. I had a full breakdown on Halloween because I was finishing this brand deal video and I couldn't even get out there to meet them until about like what 7:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. I ran to meet them. Ben had already parked the car, so I had to run like a mile and a half in the dark with the dog to meet them. And by the time I got to y'all, obviously, like the first house that I went to, I was like, I just want to go to one house with her, just one house with her. I go to the first house and that house is out of candy because it's just like too late. At that point, I'm sobbing in the street.
Can I show you what you were doing? Can I show the people?
Yes, within reason.
So Amber like pushes a stroller.
Just crying.
And she comes back and she goes like this. She puts her hand on her forehead.
Is not what I did.
Like heavy breathing, hand under shoulder, you know, pushing the stroller, about to faint. And it's on a walkway. So she finds this little nook and she's about to have a panic attack. And I mean, I have not seen you that miserable since you've given birth.
I was just like, in a bad space. I'm missing out on her life. And for what?
She missed going to one house. But.
You went to many houses with her while I was busy. And then when I finally came, the one house that I went to that didn't have no candy. And I'm sure I looked like a deranged woman in the street because it's like, is this bitch crying because ain't no Kit Kats left? Like, what is happening? But I just had like a full like, this is the start of the bullshit, Amber. This is the start. Like, you answering the money calls before Halloween.
You know, it's funny when you have a moment like this, you start thinking about all the other ways you're a terrible parent, you know? So you started naming other things that you've been missing in her life. I was like, You're doing fine. Like, it's so funny because as a man, if I was the main breadwinner.
Yeah, you don't feel guilty about
you
shit.
You don't feel, you're like, oh, this is my responsibility. We know.
You don't feel dad guilt. What is that?
Yeah, if I made all the money, right, you make a lot of money for us and allow us to live very comfortably and actually not only live comfortably, but to create investments and create things for the future for your child. And not only that, you've supported my family. Like my extended family, you supported your family. You've just been able to do so much. And so it was so funny. Like, I almost started laughing at her crying. Because I was like,
it probably was pretty funny.
It was funny because I was like,
I can compartmentalize and say it was probably hilarious.
She does so much. So in my mind, I couldn't imagine her ever feeling bad because I was like, if I did half of what Amber did and was making half of the amount of money Amber did and missed some Halloween, I'd be like, oh, like I'm working for the family.
I know, but you know how much I love like theater and dressing up and wigs and costumes. And I was like, this is the first year I was so busy promoting the show that I didn't even think about our family costume. I had it at the top of the year, but
I
didn't get the family costume.
She just starts naming things over and over.
Costumes is me. Like, I have a bag full of wigs under my bed that I feel like I haven't seen in months just because I've been like doing so many things and I just don't want to forget the fun stuff. Or we bought a pumpkin, still haven't carved it. I was like, what is going on?
Relax. We get to it. We're going to get to it. You have all the time. So I'm like, listen, Amber, it's okay. So we went to a house and
we know you don't worry about anything. You don't feel bad about anything ever. Well, that's not true.
I have felt bad about a couple of things.
All two of them.
Like, one of the things I recently feel bad is that...
Yeah, make me feel better. What do you get guilty about?
I tried to make you a meal. Tried to make you and Wild a meal, and it was this cheese sauce.
Jerk cheese.
Was so disgusting. It was horrific. Like, I don't throw out food. I have a lot of, like, food resource anxiety, and I will not throw out food. I will eat like moldy food. I'm getting better about it now, but I threw this out, which is very, very rare for me to throw out any food.
That was a big step.
So I did feel guilty about that. But you did go, and people can see this on a TikTok video I made where Amber goes and like goes into this school bus. This guy was handing food out of a school bus. And he had this machete, and Wild was freaking out. So Amber went and got it, and she ends up laughing.
It was very scary.
For those of you who listen to in and out of tears like a toddler.
For those of you who listen to the podcast, you'll know that right before that video, I was sobbing.
Sobbing, like nasty crying. And then also at one point, you like had your hand on your, I was saying, you know, your hand on your head, almost about to faint.
I just had it like stomping
your foot like.
I did not do that. Oh, you want to talk about full on temper tantrums? You did that earlier this week. Do you remember when you were going upstairs and I was trying to ask you to grab something on your way up and you were just like, I was like, what? I think I just asked you to bring the laundry up or something. You were like,
okay, I have a hard time to focus. And Amber will ask me like 3-4 minor things. Like, for example, for us to get to record this podcast, I took Wild to a reading story time. And I also took Wild to a music class. And she's texting me like, can you also pick up food? And I'm like, all right, I got her.
Why are you trying
food.
To go to two classes of hers before we record a show? Just
but
go
Amber
to one.
Will just throw other things on my plate that
she
thinks is
eat.
Minor.
It's lunchtime.
I gave her food. She had a corn blueberry muffin and some milk and like a little bit of a breakfast burrito that I mostly ate. Anyway. My point is that I have a hard time to focus, and Amber will ask me like 5 mini things to do right before I'm about to do something that requires a lot of brain power and attention and focus. And so one of the things I was going to do was research and write about this podcast that we're doing right now. And Amber just sucked all that energy out. And I was like, I don't want this to be a big deal, but I started almost having a panic attack because I realized that if I went downstairs to grab the laundry, I probably would see some mail that I would have to go through. Then I would start doing the mail. And one of the mails, I would probably have something in the mail where my card got stolen because I was negligent and I would have to update some sort of payment, which I do for Wild Swim lessons. And then I would go online and start updating that payment. You can see where this is going.
I do that all the time.
All the time. So well, I had set up my mind to finish something. And you fucked me.
This is the most first world conversation we will be having on this show. We about to wrap this. In our house, it's a slim, slender townhouse, but it has stairs, okay? I'm not complaining about having a three-story townhouse in LA. I am not. But what is frustrating is that the laundry is on the first floor and our bedrooms are on the third floor. So when you want to do laundry, you have to walk down two flights, put it in, washer dryer, then walk back up two flights. So whenever, if anybody has stairs in their home, they know. Or if anybody lives in an apartment where something's on the first floor, it's like, if you're in the lobby, just bring the package up. So what I try to do a good job of is like, let's not waste any trip. That's the first rule of marriage. Don't waste a trip up the stairs.
Did you ever have to leave the house to do laundry? Like growing up? Did you ever have to go to the laundry mat? Well, I did. So let me tell you. It was very, very difficult and frustrating.
Fair, I'm pretty sure we might have lived in a house or two without laundry, but I wasn't doing the laundry, so I wasn't clocking it.
Yeah, I would go with my mom.
I might have went to laundromat with my mom once or twice. Yeah,
Hours. And so this is a very first world problem.
That's what I acknowledge. Yeah. This is a very privileged, spoiled brat problem. But if you do have stairs in your home, it is frustrating when somebody comes all the way up the stairs when you needed them to bring something up.
But you told me to go back down the stairs after I'd already come up the stairs.
No, because you were on the second floor about to go up to the third.
Yeah, and you told me to go back downstairs.
Right. Yeah, but you're more in shape than me. So, like, sometimes it's really about, like, oh, you just went on a 5-mile run anyway. Can you just, like, go down and go back up? Well, we both about to be, we'll talk about that more at 11 on that.
More at 11.
Anyway, our relationship is a mess, as we know. Would you like to hear about other people's relationships?
I would think it would make me feel better.
Absolutely. So this is the segment where we give relationship advice, the I do's and don'ts of relationships. We got two letters hot off the block. Also, this is your quick reminder. If you have letters that you want to send us or ask advice about anything, it does not have to be a romantic relationship. I want to say, not this episode, but next episode, we do have one that is like a work relationship situation. If you have relationships about friends, about romantic partners, about you hate your boss and you want to finally tell him to shove it, please send those DMs or those questions and inquiries to the Fly on the Wall in Instagram. Fly on the Wall in Instagram. I will also put this in the episode notes. Literally send us anything, no matter how small you think it is. So, you ready, baby? Letter number one. Dear Fly on the Wall, I'm on a break with my man and I miss him, even though I started seeing someone else. So, me and this guy, we were friends with benefits for about 2 years, and we started dating this past spring and summer. He's a really good guy. We have a lot in common. We put a pause on things because he has a ton on his plate with acting classes and working and coaching high school speech. I didn't put up much of a fight about it because I wanted to respect his decision. I do miss him a lot, though, considering I've always been to myself and single. And right around the time we took a break, it was after my birthday, which was a really shitty birthday. Side note, my mom and I have a really bad conversations about me being non-binary, they, them, and queer. For context, my mom is very religious and always has been since I was a teenager. I've told her about my pronouns when I came out as non-binary, but she refused to respect me and told me she will never do that. Now back to where we are today. I've been chatting and seeing this new guy. He's a nurse who is getting himself together and back on his feet. We recently went on a date. It was nice. I had a great time. We kissed and we made out, but it felt weird. I miss my old boo. Any advice?
Well, if you missed your old boo, then you have to go back to what you missed. But he doesn't want.
He's busy. Yeah, he don't want to be together anymore. He's busy. So what we kind of have here, there's a couple things going on. Our writer who wrote in may have had has already experienced rejection from his own mother, or I will say his family, because they them pronouns. Yeah. I just call them our writer into the show, but I'm pretty sure. Yes. Our writer, they go by they, them pronouns. They've already kind of experienced rejection from their own parent, potentially other extended family members. And then they found who they thought was this great guy to date. And now that guy is too busy. So now they're dating other people, but they really missed the first boo.
Yeah, I got the letter. So here's the thing.
I thought you were asking for clarity or something.
No. No, I wasn't. I don't need clarity. Look at me. Look at me. I'm always clear. Everything is to the point. You don't need to explain anything extra to me. I know how to do it perfectly. So I'm going to tell you what I would do. So if someone says, like, I'm not ready yet, you just keep on asking until they're ready. Like, that is what you do, right? That is how me.
That's how you got me.
Yeah. I was like, Amber's like, I'm not ready for a relationship. I was like, well, I'm going to keep on asking. Keep knocking until the door is open. And if the door doesn't open, then you go to another house, come back, knock again.
So just don't take no for an answer is what you're saying.
You take no for an answer for right now, but then you just keep knocking. Like, eventually, they're gonna open the door. One time, I'll give a perfect example of this. I had this friend growing up, okay? And he would come, his parents were divorced, and his father, I lived near his father, and so he would come and hang out with his father. And I knew one time his dad was home, and I thought my friend was there. So I just kept on knocking, went around the back door, knocked on the back door, went around the front door, knocked on the front door. And then eventually he opened the door, but I had to go the front and the back door and knock multiple times.
And did his dad say, get the hell off my property
his
with all this
knocking?
His dad
was naked in there, I think was fucking his girlfriend.
His dad was fucking your friend's girlfriend?
No, his girlfriend. His dad's.
Oh, his dad had a girlfriend.
Yeah, and so he like opened the door and he like peeked out, but he was like naked.
And what did he say to you? This is a great. Don't leave me hanging.
Yeah, he said he's not here.
And then did you go in the house and wait?
No,
or they said like get the hell on.
No, he was really.
Was he sweaty?
He was sweaty, and I realized now that I realized he was probably fucking.
How old were you?
Like 12 or 13.
Okay, so in the analogy of the story, knocking too much was kind of a bad idea because you're messing up.
No. Eventually, you just keep knocking, and then if he's like, go away, I don't like you. Like, basically, annoy him until he hates you, and then you're like, okay, he hates me. It's over.
No.
Or annoy him until he accepts you.
Sure.
What do you mean, sure? This is great advice.
You're so spot on, except for the fact that, like, if I tell you that I'm busy, get the hell on. Like, that's what that means. Get the hell on. Like, because I know, you know, even if you're really, really busy, you could probably find a pocket of time here and there to talk to somebody. But I think the first guy that he was talking to, the first guy that they were talking to, I'm so sorry, I misgendered you. First guy that they were talking to has made it very clear that, like, hey, I'm busy. I don't have time for this right now. So it would be best if you left that person alone and then you continue dating as many other people as possible. Sure, you kissed the nurse and you felt weird, but you got to just keep kissing other people. And eventually somebody you kiss is going to be the one.
But or you got to go back to that other person and be like, hey, I'm fine. Like, I'm busy too. We can just still be like together.
No, because people try to be fuck buddies when in reality they want to be together. Right, man?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like, just because the door is closed or there's a goalie, like, doesn't mean you can't still knock or you can't still try to shoot.
You can hit them with that 2 a.m. text and see.
Not 2
like,
a.m. Just be like, hey, like, be insidious about it. Be like, hey, you want to meet up?
Insidious?
Yeah, like, want to meet up for coffee?
I guess I don't know what the word insidious means then.
No, yeah, like, meet up for coffee.
You
but
mean inconspicuous.
Really, no, insidious means, like, deceptive. So, like, meet up for coffee means, so this is a date, and then like trap them into a date.
Trap them. Okay, I don't hate that. I don't hate trap them into a date.
I need to be very clear. This is terrible advice. Please do not listen. Listen to Amber. She knows what she's talking about.
Sometimes also, going back to the letter, we have to teach people how to kiss. Because he said he kissed the guy, and then
They said
they kissed the guy, and I don't even actually know this person. I don't know why I'm defaulting to he. I don't even think, like, I'm tripping is what I'm trying to say. They said they kissed this guy and that it felt weird. Sometimes you got to teach people where to put their tongue, you know?
No one has ever taught me how to kiss, ever. You've never taught me how to kiss. I've had to teach you how to kiss and be like, put on some chapstick.
Wait. You had to do what?
I had to teach you how to kiss. Like,
I think there's a big difference between telling somebody their lips are chapped / dry.
It's part of the whole package.
No.
You can't be kissing people with dry lips. That's a teaching.
I got a lot of real estate here. So I will own that you may have once or twice had
the
to tell me to
your
put
lips
some chapstick
chapped,
on.
No, no.
But
babe, Amber, I need to be very clear.
I taught you how to kiss.
No. Stop. First of all, the reason your lips are chapped have nothing to do with the real estate, that how big your lips are. It has to do with the fact that you do not hydrate.
I don't have thin lips, baby.
You don't hydrate.
This is a lot of energy. These are soup coolers, okay?
Literally, so the reason your lips are chapped is because you don't hydrate. You don't drink enough water.
Okay. I'll own that sometimes my lips are chapped
because I need to drink more water. Thank you.
You need to own that I definitely taught you how to kiss because you out your mind.
No, you said I don't like you staring at me like a serial killer when we're kissing because I keep my eyes open.
Yes, Ben used to keep his eyes open during the kisses, y'all. Like this.
I just close them when I see her about to open to
check. Is this sexy to you?
I just like looking into your, I like to look at your face when I'm kissing you because it helps
weird,
me visualize.
Man. Yes. Every time we kissed in the beginning, you used to have them eyes wide open. I'm like, what is happening? Why do I feel an eyeball on the bridge of my nose?
Because I can't imagine your face in the same way that I see it physically. It's romantic, actually.
It's not.
Some people are hearing this and
it's
like,
weird.
Oh, that's so
it's
sweet.
It's strange. It was strange then.
You get kissed with your eyes
you
open.
You would do like this like lip pursing thing when we first started dating. You'd be like, you would kiss like a little grandma. Like if you had to like kiss a grandma on the lips.
And guess what? Grannies are the most practiced at kissing, so.
Yeah, but people be dodging. Dodge granny kisses.
If I am kissing like a granny now, that means I have experience like a granny.
Okay, Ben, give your best kiss to the air right now. See how you already getting tight? That's how you used to do. You already getting tight.
Next question.
Letter number two. You know I kiss better than you. Are you nuts? We'll take a poll right now on YouTube. Who would you rather kiss, me or Ben? I'll wait for y'all to write your response in YouTube. Letter number two. This is relatable. Dear Fly on the Wallin, I think my man hates me, but he won't leave. I'm with you, friend. I'm with you. We've been together off and on for about 4 years. I feel like we stay stuck in the same cycle. Is this me? Did I write this letter? I tell him all the time we're not growing. No, I didn't write this letter. I tell him all the time that we are not growing, so maybe we should just let it go. But he refuses. I really believe he's not in love with me anymore, but he would just hate to see me happy with someone else. I don't help the situation because when I try to stay out the way and stick to my boundaries, we always end up back in each other's lives. He's trying to convince me maybe we're meant to stay together, but I'm a lot younger and believe I could be missing out on my real life partner. But I'm so scared at the same time to start over again. So we just keep repeating the same cycles over and over and over. What to do, Ben?
She knows what to do. I don't have to give this woman any advice.
Right.
Honey, sweetheart, you know that this person is not for you. You know that you are stuck in a toxic loop and that you don't have the maturity to move on, which means that you need support. Like, you need someone else to help you get out of this. Like, this is not something you are able to do on your own because you've tried it. And I think a lot of people think that they can break up with someone on their own. But no, like, you need a crew of people to help you through a breakup.
Oh, for sure.
Especially in this situation. I mean, I mean 4 years is, you know, if you think of 4 years in a life of a child, that 4 years you're talking, you're potty trained, like that is a long, long time to be with someone. And the fact that you're not growing and you sounds like you don't want to grow and it sounds like you're, you know, stepping into the path of least resistance, you are going to be miserable.
Yes.
And you can't do this on your own. I'm going to refer back to that. Like, find someone to help you. Start going to church. If you don't go to church, reach out to some friends. Churches are the best at helping you break up.
Who is this and where? What has he done with my husband? You just told somebody to go to church?
I think to solve their issues? To get through a breakup.
Wow.
For
Mr.
sure.
Mr. Religious or Marker has turned a new leaf.
Go to a mosque or a temple.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well.
Some sort of religion. So,
even you recommending any religion to turn away from your relationship right now is gagging me right now.
Drop the man, find Jesus.
Drop the man, find Jesus. We cannot name the episode that because people be like, wait, this can't be the same episode. This is the same podcast that did Who Let the Christians Out a couple weeks ago. Let me say this. I am a woman who loves her Google Calendar, okay? And I'm not doing nothing unless I put it in the Google Calendar. I think you should put a date in your Google Calendar to dump your man by. Don't try to be like, but no, this is a bad time because people all the time are like, well, I couldn't dump him this week because his cousin passed away and blah, blah, blah. No, pick a day.
There's
just
always
like you would with
right?
a job.
Yeah.
There's always life happening. There's always something going on. Pick a day to dump your man, I would say in 2 weeks, even if y'all live together. Leases can be broken. Things can be moved around. Somebody else can move into your spot. You can move into your mama's house. Whatever it is.
You know what you can't do? You can't, once you have a kid, you can't break the kid.
Right.
Like that is a contract for the rest of the kid's life.
Exactly, exactly. So while y'all are child free, I say get the hell up out of there. Don't even waste another day. Why waste a day? Like you said, you could be living your best life with your real life partner. Okay? So I think you need to break up with this man, maybe give yourself 2 good weeks, but put it in your calendar and then just have the hard conversation. Because he's probably waiting for that too. I hate when you're like in a relationship or in a work dynamic where you're like, we both know we're not working hard. Like,
he
let's just
also
call
might
it.
Just not have the ability to break up with you. So he is, you know, creating situations for you to think he hates you enough so that you can take the initiative to break up with him. Some people are weak like that. They can't take the steps, so they manipulate the situation around them to push people away. So like, I'm going to push you away without actually doing the work of separating myself, right? There's a difference between pushing someone away and separating yourself.
Right.
And pushing someone away, you can be, you know, insidious, again, coming back to insidious and toxic, and you can do all these things without actually making the decision to separate. Wow, that was good advice, Ben. Fuck. Yeah, Dr. Ben.
You still made me laugh, so... You can stay for now with your thin ass lips. Anyway, Ben,
hydrated lips.
Hydrated, I'll give you that. You hydrate more than me.
I do.
Is correct. That's because when I asked you to go upstairs grab my water from downstairs, you got an attitude on the stairs having a full fit. That's why I'll be getting my water at night. But anyway, the last segment of our show is called Shelfie. We talk about what we're reading right now and what we're watching right now. I will go ahead and say that I have I've done this before. I have always loved MTV's The Challenge, right? Real World versus Road Rules is how it started. Now they got a whole bunch of other franchises in there. Big Brother, Love Island, they're all The Challenge. If you know The Challenge, we roll deep. We rep CT. We love Anissa. We love Corey. We love Tori. We love Ashley. We love Hunter. So now my addiction to this show. I binged a whole bunch of it when I was postpartum, just sitting around the house, just like trying to find myself again. And now I'm back. And it has actually been helping me on my fitness journey, Ben, because today, as of today, I have signed us up for a Spartan race. How do you feel that I have been watching this MTV show? I've been going to the gym, and now I feel like we need something to work towards.
Do you believe in miracles? What is that? When you believe,
there can be miracles when you believe.
I mean, if the challenge got you to sign up for a race.
I've have done races before. We used to be...
No, but I got you to do it. I signed up. I took the initiative. I have ran a race before you, Ben.
But yes, any race that we've signed up with since we've been together, like you've signed us up for.
I've ran races before. I know. But I'm amazed that you took the initiative to do this. You wanted to do this.
I do.
That's awesome, Amber.
Because
I'm really proud of you.
I've been setting some fitness goals that my trainer has basically just been saying. And for those of you who don't know, I go to a trainer like twice a week. This isn't some rigorous program. She's trying to help me get a control of my eating, but she can't really do much with the old bitch. So what has happened is I always need something coming up, like like for I was like, oh, my wedding's coming up. Let me hear that. I need an event coming up.
Cause you need something on the Google calendar for you to do something.
Yes, because I won't just work out just to feel good about my body. That's stupid. I need something coming up.
You need a reason.
I need a reason. Because why else would I just be sitting here?
You're all about the destination, not the journey.
Why would I be working out and losing weight just because? That's so stupid.
When you could be sitting on the couch, right. Watching
the challenge. Watching MTV's The Challenge.
And eating whatever food.
I just feel like one day we are going to get the call to be on like Amazing Race, Internet Couples Edition or something. We're going to get the call to be on something and I want to be ready. So it's 5K, it's 20 obstacles. Can we do it, Ben? But I asked my trainer, I was like, hey, yes. One of my goals is to do one pull-up before the end of the year. She was like, she was basically like, yeah, that probably won't happen. Like, because we've been doing some of the pull-up stuff, but, you know, you could put weight on it. So the weight, like, I've been doing some, but she said I probably won't be able to do a pull-up on my own before the end of the year. But she did say she's ran the Spartan race before. She was like, it's tons of stuff on there you could do. She's like, I've been working with you. I see what you do every single week. Like, you're not going to be completely gassed. Like, you have great. She said, I've been building up my endurance.
Good job.
Can I do a pull-up on my own? Hell no.
So we're going to get you there. I can help you get there, yeah.
Ben, respectfully, you had pizza and beer last night for dinner. You can't get me anywhere, beloved. You are the reason why I'm sitting in the body that they see on the camera right now. Because if I didn't fall in love with your goofy ass, you know, love weight is like 20, 30 pounds for real. You know, both of us were in shape when we first met each other, right?
I mean, this is divulging into like fat phobia.
Oh, it is. I'd rather be in love. No.
Because we're like a shape is a shape, whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know, if
we were more active, we did more. We were more like active. Physical activities.
Going up the stairs didn't gas me, and I think being in LA with all these hills, I just don't want to take wild trick or treating and be completely out of breath. That's my goal.
Let's start with not sobbing.
Hey, I probably lost some weight in tears. I don't want to be skinny. I've never been skinny, but I do want to be in shape. That way, if I have another baby in the future, or if I'm ever wild soccer coach or something random, I can keep up with the team. You know, I just don't want to be.
Soccer coach makes sense.
I could be her softball coach for sure.
Yeah. You could coach her. I think you'd make her. A great mommy coach because you're very disciplined. You make very clear.
And I like being active. Yeah. I've always loved doing yoga. I play softball hiking, my whole life growing up. Yeah. Not hiking. I don't like that, but I think, okay. How do you think we're going to do in this Spartan race that we're about to train for? I ordered brown rice with my Chipotle today. I'm already starting on the right foot.
Wow. That is very rare. You've never. Yeah.
Brown rice.
Intentionally ordered brown rice. I've got you brown rice sushi before.
And I probably threw it in your face. Yeah.
You threw it out. You didn't throw it in my face. You were respectful.
I probably ate it, but begrudgingly.
Yeah, because sometimes I didn't read the thing carefully enough. This is a little sticker that says brown rice. And I think one time I got it. You're like, you got brown rice. I was like, it's healthier. She's like, nah. So you are indiscernible. Blah. Sometimes Amber, when she's upset, will make noises. It is hilarious and also terrifying. I'm like, is she becoming possessed?
But I ordered. I'm turning a new leaf.
Mm-hmm. I think you're gonna have to rake the whole lawn, though. You can't just turn leaves. There's a whole lifestyle change,
Ben. Here, this is why we're going to do great.
We're going to do great.
Because you are a runner. Mm-hmm. So you would motivate me to get from obstacle to obstacle. And I am stronger than you.
Oh, we're not doing it together. I'll be way ahead of you.
We're doing it together. Are you nuts? You don't have the strength to do it by yourself. You know I'm stronger than you. If we right now say who can do the most pushups, you know I would do more pushups than you. You know that.
I think I would step. I would hit you step for step.
No, you would not.
We'll resolve.
Try to do basic crunches. We try to do basic crunches in the house, and you give up. You know you do.
We should. We'll do a contest.
Are we going to do a pull up contest?
If we do a contest, I'll beat you. If it's an official contest, I will destroy you.
Okay, so how about we do who can hold a plank the longest?
I can do that too. I'll win.
No, you will not.
We'll do it. All right. We're gonna film.
Okay,
this.
I'm gonna make a note right now.
Watch this. It's gonna be posted. It's gonna be posted on Amber's TikTok.
It will be.
Yeah.
It will be. Okay. How about that? This has been another episode of Fly on the Wallens Spartan Race. We are so grateful that y'all listen to us every single week. Buy your tickets to Atlanta City Winery. We will see y'all there, and we'll see y'all next week. Here's your outro music. Man, you know. You know right now, if I asked you to do a plank, you could not hold that plank as long as me.
I could.
You could. Boy!
You know they're from TikTok, cause those laughs keep you coming, cause they're wilding all the time. Before Wild throws a tantrum, listen to our silly anthem, cause they're wilding all the time. Don't swap while Amber squats and does her dance to please her plants, and Ben reads books while serving looks. Wild is wilding all the time. Fly, fly, oh, to be a fly. Fly, fly, come and be a fly on the wall.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.